Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, and everything in between. This is With All Due Respect. It must be Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and I must be Jim Ellis, because when I look down, yep, I'm inhabiting this body. This must be Jim. And we have on the East Coast, Mr. Rick Wright. How you doing there, Rick?
Jimmy, how you doing? I'm doing good.
Oh, life, man, ups and downs, roller coaster. Been kind of down lately, but I guess that just means it's gonna, the up is just going to be higher than ever. That's the way I'm going to hold it. So,
okay.
Times are kind of tough, but just kind of keep breathing through and knowing that in the moment things are okay. Even if the past sucks or the future looks scary, I feel like I'm already.
Yeah, it's a,
so.
Yeah, listen, it's a good place to be, man. What's going on? Anything specific you can share with the share with me and listening audience?
Sure, and that's why I love this show. It's like, in the moment, two dudes with all due respect. What's going on? Real conversation. What's going on? Well, I'd say for the last 12 years. Ever since I lost my 14-year job, I was in a corporate job for 14 years, and
wow.
we both got tired of each other, and we said goodbye. And for 12 years, yeah, it's been 12 years since March 26th. I've been an entrepreneur, a writer, a videographer, a whatever the hell it takes to live, to eat, to live indoors, and. For many years, this is like very effortless. Not, I wouldn't say effortless, but the first year it was scary as hell. Like, what am I going to do? Because like, you know, you think about writers. Oh, I'm a writer. Oh, okay, good. Go to the classifieds. You know, I mean, there's some content writing jobs, but you know, a lot of times there's just not, especially like this kind of stuff I write, sitcoms and poetry. You're not going to find that in the want ads. So, it's been struggling, you know, not struggling, but just really stressed out about finances and just making it at what I love, you know. They say, oh, do what you love and the money will follow. Okay, hurry up. Anyway, so that's where I'm at. I mean, I think it's pretty ballsy to even, you know, be a poet / sitcom / you know, movie writer in the world, because, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, it's not possible, but what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, not do it? I mean, it's who I am, so. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
That's me. So,
very
what's,
cool.
What's up with you today?
What's up with me today? It was a good day. It was a good solid day. You know, I was at the office. My new context for my business is taking care of business. I sing the song sometimes when I'm thinking of it by Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's it's a great intro too. The song's got a great intro, but I've been just taking care of business, and that's been working out really well. And it's a dreary morning, and it's still not sunny yet. But I have my first softball game of the season tonight. And I went to practice yesterday. First practice, first time I've thrown and caught a softball or a ball. In like 8-9 years, and same thing with hitting a ball or you know, swinging at a ball in probably 8-9 years, and was pleasantly surprised at my results. You know, I'm half my team, or probably 3/4, not half, shit, 80% of my team is probably 27-year-olds, and you know, I held my own for you know, for an old guy. I was able to hit well and catch well and throw well, and It was good. So, and the team is very fun. They're, you know, they're just a fun group of young men. One thing that was really present to me was, you know, when I was, it put like 10, 27-year-olds when I was 27 in one, you know, put them all together in one spot. And there was always seems a lot of like posturing and jockeying and seeing who's going to rise to the top or be the alpha and, you know, compete, and a lot of ego and stuff like that. And it was very refreshing to have, you know, some cool young guys, masculine crew of dudes, and they were pretty, you know, very friendly and very cool, and they were very, they were able to make fun of themselves, and you know, some of the guys you can tell were dusting out the cobwebs, and they weren't like getting all upset about it, and it was just really, really refreshing and really fun. And that's, I wasn't sure if I was going to join or not, and after that practice, I said, you know what, this is going to be fun, and that's what I was looking to get out of it. So,
how long has it been since you played softball?
Probably eight, nine years. Organized softball.
Why did you get out of it?
I just lost the passion. When games were coming up and I was like cringing because I had to go to games, that's when I knew I needed to, you know, get out of softball. And I was very happy with the decision, and I wasn't really going to go back, but I'm on this thing on the East Coast. I don't know if they have it over by you. It's called The Neighborhood, and it's like a social network for like neighborhoods. You know, you get a postcard, you sign up for it, and then you refer friends or whatever. But there was a listing on there that said, you know, looking to put guys together for softball. And for some reason I responded, and I was clear with the guy. I wanted to check out what was up first and see how it was physically. And it ended up being really cool.
I know what you mean about like wanting to have fun, like to go out, spend the time, and if it's not fun, then it's like, what am I doing this for? You know?
Yeah.
But that's cool. Well, I can't let you go another second without at least asking you, what is the beginning to Bachman Turner Overdrive's Taking Care of Business? Because you teased our whole audience with a great intro, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think
I wake up
every morning to the alarm clock's warning. I take the 8:15 into the city. People pushing, people shoving. And and the girl's just trying to look, but there's a great guitar riff in the beginning. I can't do the guitar riff.
That's what
of course, but
that's what I was that's what I was asking for. No, I can't do that.
What is? Well, how's it go? You know what? Yeah. Yeah, man.
There you go. Taking care of business.
That's my context, man.
With that riff too.
That'll
always help.
Yeah. Isn't that great? So I and it's funny because I have like a lot of classic rock on my iTunes, and I didn't have that song, and it was great. And the shift for me was I had some terms around balance in my life, and some of those terms were detrimental to some of my business practices. And I realized that, and the whole purpose is, so the context is taking care of business. The purpose is to take care of my business because it takes care of me. And I got a bunch of results. You know, fucking world domination and fucking private jet.
That's cool.
And solved the water and hunger problem in the world.
Both. Okay.
And just those two.
That's cool. So yeah, with all your, you know, millions or how much you make by taking care of business, you're actually going to take care of others as well. You're thinking of others. People.
Absolutely. You gotta give to get.
Yeah.
It's the fourth law.
Oh, yeah, fourth law.
Laws of success.
Oh, okay.
The seven spiritual laws of success. It's the fourth law, I think it is. It's the the law of karma or the law of give and take.
It's so true. It's so well known too.
I'm sorry.
It's such a meme. Go ahead.
Second.
Can you hear me?
The second law. The law of giving.
Second law. It's
you gotta
well,
give
I found
to receive.
It to be so, yeah. When I was a division coordinator in the men's organization that we belong to, MDI, Mentor, Discover, Inspire, when I was a coordinator in San Diego looking, you know, overseeing 70 men, it was a lot of giving, and it was the richest time of my life. You know, I was like, wow, I was so rich because I was giving so much. And there's even a part in A Course in Miracles, which we've talked about in the past, this this text that came through in 1975, a spiritual book. It mentions it too. It's like, you think by giving you'll have less, but by giving you're proving to yourself and to the world that you actually have. So by continually proving that you have something, it grows over time. So the world will tell you you're going to lose by giving, but the real world will tell you the opposite. I got to remember that. Because during these rough financial times, I find myself retracting, getting smaller, and I got to do the opposite. Mm-hmm. I got to get bigger and put out more.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was great too. Because for me, it's like every time, what's the first thing you think of? Like when someone says you got to give more, like what's the first thing that pops in your head?
Time and stress.
Okay. For me, it was always, you know, how much? Like, what do you want me to give? Are you looking for 10, 20? You know, it was always, for some reason, attached to money. I'm serious. Like, that's like, you know, hey, can you give? Like, as soon as I thought of give, it was like, you know. But I didn't realize giving, and especially, well, what it says in the book is, you know, giving is giving someone a prayer. Or, like, if you go somewhere, never go empty-handed. And that doesn't mean bring in a 50-year-old bottle of whiskey. You can bring, if you don't have a lot of money, you bring one flower. Or, you know, you bring a poem that you wrote or a note that, you know, something that you wrote down or something that you created. Or, you know, always giving, like, you know, when you see somebody, give a smile or give a good intention or give kindness. So, like, when I realized, like, all those things were also part of giving, it was like really cool. And it was funny because I did that. There was a girl in front of me and I could tell she sort of wasn't like, didn't have a lot of money and she might've been wearing the same clothes for a little bit. And she was like a big girl. And I don't know. I just got this energy from her. Like she was just like the way she was walking was just very, I don't know. I felt like I needed to give her some kindness. And I just, you know, when I got alongside of her, I said, hey, how you doing today? And she goes, and she looked up at me because she was looking down. She looks up. She goes, I'm doing good. She goes, thank you very much for asking. I said, you're welcome. And I just walked away. But it gave, you know, it was really, you know, I don't know, something just after reading that chapter and then, you know, doing my, just thinking about it, it just hit me. And it just felt really good, you know. There is a selfish component to giving also because there is some gratification when you make someone else, another human, feel better.
Yeah. I love going to restaurants, and when I'm in a certain mood, I'll just say, hey, Jennifer, watch this. The next three waiters or waitresses that come up, let's see if I can get each one of them to laugh somehow. And it's a warm market because, you know, tips are involved down the road, right? And but it's weird if I'm in a certain mood. It's like bam, 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 laugh, 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 and it's, sometimes it's pretty hard laughing. It's like dang, it feels good, you know, to brighten someone's day and to move on. And you never know, like you ever see some of those videos or those, you know, posts where somebody was really depressed and looking down, and somebody brightened their day and it really turned them around. You know, it's amazing the things that can turn people around that we don't even know. Mm-hmm. We have the capacity to do that for them. But
yeah, absolutely.
Can you think of a time? I mean, I'll just put it out there. Can you think of a time where you were down and somebody didn't know it, but they did something, and they're like, "Shit, man, that really lifted me up," and they don't even know. One of them was I'm just remembering when I was a kid. My parents went out of town, and there was these neighbors that invited me over for pizza and to watch a movie. I was a pretty lonely kid, pretty shut in, shut down. And just them inviting me to pizza, I was so nervous I couldn't eat any, but it's still just the gesture. I was so happy, so uplifted, and they have no idea probably.
Yeah. That's really cool. You know what I'm thinking? I don't remember anything like that. Like, I don't know, that grand. but, you know, if people around me know that I'm not feeling well or not doing well, for the most part, my favorite thing is just let me just deal with it or just let me get through it. And I think they know that, so I don't get a lot of, hey, read this chapter in this book, or hey, champ, you want some ice cream or some shit? You know, it's just like they know that that's probably not gonna. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm just, you know, I'm just sort of sitting in a little bit, throw my little pity party, you know, fart my little mud puddle and splash around in it, and then get up, rinse off, get back at it.
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things I like to do, and maybe this is a transition into our topic, is I like to write poetry. We actually did that. Was it last? No, it was 2 weeks ago on my anniversary, and I surprised my wife live on the radio with a poem I had written the day before for our anniversary. Actually, got a text from a guy in L.A. and an MDI who heard it. He said, sweet poem, man. I went, right on. I don't know. So cool. I like to write poetry, and I've actually created a service where I can interview people about a loved one, and I take their sentiments and their memories, and then I create a portrait, but not with paint on a canvas, but words on a page. And yeah, so I did that, and I did one for you, and I guess you confirmed your mom is not listening to the show right now. Is that true?
That is correct.
We know that to be true. So I was able to – now, this was a couple of years ago, right, or 1 year ago? Maybe two.
I don't know when the original date was. Yeah. It was last Mother's Day. Was it last Mother's Day?
What?
No, it can't be last Mother's Day because – yeah, okay.
So we wrote a poem. First, I interviewed you. I took your words, put it into a prose, and I liked it. It was pretty, because you're so transparent when you just talking one-on-one. But I understand transporting it or transposing it into a poem. Some of those sentiments, they may not work for a Mother's Day poem. So what I ended up doing was revamping it since then and sent you a new copy. And I wasn't sure if were you able to see that. I can't believe we're doing this live on the radio. Were you able to read that last one?
So what I did was, I was able. I read it. I have it printed out. It's actually in front of me. I have a bunch of X's and circles and shit all over it. Now I'm only messing with you. But before we do that, because I was always the first time I heard a prose was when you said it. Like this is a word like I've never heard. So is it prose portrait or is it just a prose? And what I hate to put you on the spot, but what does prose mean?
Prose is another word for a poem. Like, you know, words put all fancy together. Somebody actually, one of my books says prose and poems, and they're like, what's the difference? Now I have to look it up, of course.
So while you're looking it up, I reread it, right? And it's, you know what? It's actually really, you know, you know how things are. You look at things differently as life changes and different things happen, right? So I looked at it, and it actually is not, you know, I remember when, can I be transparent here about the draft?
Right.
Yeah. Can I? Yeah. So the first draft we did, it didn't really speak to – I didn't think it really fit my mom, and I felt like if I gave it to her, she might not get it and might sort of be like, I don't know, not upset, but I don't know if she would just understand what it was. So what I did was I read it again, and then I looked at it. And the thing for me is that it's just what happened was, and this is probably something when I read the rest of it is where I sort of got like sidetracked. The beginning of it it doesn't seem like her. Like it seems very, it's not soft enough. My mom is very, soft and like as far as like the way I view her now, she's like this very kind, woman. She's 72, and she's adorable. She's very little, but she's like fluffy, but she's little. It's like it's a weird. She looks like it's like the Keebler elf. The Keebler elves, the guy who cooks for the Keebler elves, his wife, and she's adorable. So the thing is what I did was we don't have time to redo this whole thing on the air. But I think that if we came up with a softer start, like if Rick starts out with woman with principles, surely committed, she's accomplished what she wants and what she sets her mind to. It just seems like. It almost seems very like a masculine energy right out of the gate, the first two lines. High energy, high on life. So I think what happened was when I read that, it sort of set the tone for my listening for when I listened to the rest, when I read the rest of it. And then the rest of it was actually really good. It was really cool stuff. It was like a lot of facts, a lot of stuff that I liked. And then the last thing was the deleted scenes. I was sort of a little bit engaged by like that, but then I reread it. And I'm like, man, I think that needs to be in there.
Really? Can you, since our audience has no idea. So the deleted scenes were talking about parts of your life that, were you kind of, can I be transparent? Were you kind of like, you're acted out a little bit as a kid who doesn't, and she saw you through. So there was kind of like, it seemed like kind of negative, but like when I read it, I'm like, wow, this is really uplifting. And it's real life. It's real life. Like, people go through tough times and they see each other through it. So that's why I took it out, because I was believing that you didn't want something like that in there. But you're saying now there's no problem with those deleted scenes.
There's no problem with that, because it's based on history. And past history. The one thing I would put in there is though, right like 3/4 of the way through, of even though all that stuff happened, and I'll just give the audience a little bit of, instead of being so vague, it's I struggled in school as a kid, and my parents are young parents. They didn't know, they were doing the best they could, and the way that they figured it would get me to learn more would be to punish it out of me. And I don't know if that was the greatest thing, because I just wasn't built for learning in that type of, situation or that type of schooling. But fast forward now, someone who barely made it out of high school and doesn't have a college degree, I have a good level of success in my business and my businesses. So it's, so maybe what we can do is we can put all of that in there. And then, she never did give up on me. She never did disconnect or quit on me. I always felt my mother's unconditional love for me. No matter what I did, I knew she would love me. But, it'd be great to also put in there about how proud she is. Cause she says a lot now, how proud she is of what I've accomplished. And every now and then she'll ask me some stuff and I'll tell her, and like, it'll tickle her. Cause she can't imagine like the amount of houses that I buy and, sell and all these other different things,
Yeah.
And she just gets a real big kick out of it. So, maybe we can put that, in that deleted scene, maybe 3/4 of the way down, we can put in, now she's a proud mom and all this other stuff. And I think it'll take that scene and can put a nice little positive spin on it right at the end.
Yeah. I'm looking for that.
Probably create some emotion.
I was feeling it.
Probably create some emotion.
That's what I was kind of. Yeah, I was kind of bummed when I was thinking taking those out. It's like, God, there's so much depth in those, Can I? Do you mind if I read the deleted scene? Can I do that?
You can read it. Yeah, my fucking ego is engaged. I'm like, I don't want that in fucking writing somewhere, man. my ego, of course. So, you can read it.
All right, so this is part towards the end. Yes, I struggled in class.
didn't apply as I should. I'd sit in my room and think on why I was there. An underachiever who wanted to achieve what I could. Sad to put her through that. I know now it wasn't fair. She never gave up on me, never disconnected or quit. Though times got dicey, problematic, and sticky, I'm so grateful her support never budged one bit, so that a Richard could always be her Ricky.
Yeah. Sweet, man. Oh, and then, yeah, we could add something about proud, you know, her being proud now. And
yeah, it'd be, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
No, maybe not.
She, just put it this way. She still loved me. I don't know how proud. But,
but yeah, that's real life. And people might not realize when they, you know, hire me to write a prose like this, a portrait, that it's, you know, it's gonna be real life, and it's gonna touch, you know, some of the depths that mean the most. But it's always well rounded, and it always has a positive through line for the whole thing. So, well, cool. I want to work on the. Can you just tell me a little bit more about the fluffy part, so I can just get a few more words that I could add in at the top to get it softer in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to ask is because of the way it's set up. Just I would just because you're a wordsmith, just look at some of these words and just put a see if you can use a feminine energy word instead of it. You know, like principles, committed, accomplished. You know, she sets her mind to, you know, she is very, you know, but not in a, like in the way it's coming across on, you know, what it's the words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a woman with, I don't know, what's a good feminine word for principles or what's a good, you know, she's surely, and I'm not, and again, you have a rhyme and reason to this. Like this is your poem, man. So you have you're using certain words so you have this flow. So I'm not sure if we just have to, you know, and again, it's just right in the beginning, just sort of, you know,
right.
You know, it would be great. Like a woman with a smile, when you know, her walk, you know, when she walks, when I first see her, cause you know, I don't see her every day. We live, you know, I see her probably, I don't know. You know, I probably don't see her enough, but when I see her, she walks towards me and she's got these little choppy steps and she puts a big smile on her face and she sort of gets, it's almost like a little fluffy dog coming towards you. So she's like, she gets all excited. So it's like, you know, her smile is, you know, it just makes you melt a little bit and it's
perfect,
you know, so that'd be great. You know, when I see, you know what? And that's the first sentence. Well, the first part of this thing is when I see my mom, I smile. That would be a great description.
Yeah.
You know, that's why.
That's it.
You know, why do I smile? Because, you know, and maybe it's my perspective of why I smile. And it's my smile because of her, you know, maybe it's I'm smiling because she's committed to the family or she's committed to our happiness. Or, you know, when I see her, I smile. You see what I'm saying? Like it'll come from, like this whole first part will come from me. Instead of just sort of facts, it would be like, you know, coming from her. And the one thing is, she has a nickname for me. She calls me Sunbun. My Sunbun.
Nice.
And I don't know if that's in there anywhere. But
no, S-O-N or S-U-N? Sun, like S-O-N, sun.
Like the sun. I know, like, like her child.
Got it.
Sun, S-O-N. Sunbun.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's how I do it. Like I talk to you, I get the feeling that's coming from you. I can feel it. And then I have some of the words that I can add in. And all these other words, they were words that you use, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work for the context of what we want to get across. So I'll fix the front and add in the pride, you know, the pride in the towards the end and send you another version. And hopefully by this Mother's Day, she'll be smiling too.
That's beautiful.
Awesome.
Excellent.
You have some pictures that you can scan and send so I can design the page as well.
Yeah, we can do some stuff. I'm looking at the time. I think we're getting close to getting.
Yeah. So we're going to have to close up shop here. But I just want to let the audience know to get a hold of us on Facebook. Go to Facebook. You've heard of it. Type in With All Dude Respect.
4 different words, with all dude respect. And you can find us there, like our page, follow us. I'd like to just say, you know, for me, if you want to find a way to get your own poem for your own loved one, legacyproductions.org, legacyproductions.org. And, yeah, awesome. Well, I was kind of like dreading this episode. I was afraid I was just going to be a blow to my ego and my writer's sensitivities. I'll tell you the truth there, but I think it worked out good. We'll make this thing for you, Rick.
Beautiful. Excellent, man. I appreciate it, Jimmy.
By the way, I just want to ask real quick. Now, we did one for your wife for, I think it was either her anniversary or her birthday.
Yeah.
How did that go? I mean, did she like it? Was she happy? Did she smile?
Absolutely amazing. It's sitting, I'm looking right at it. It sits right on, it's the main centerpiece of our bookshelf in our living room.
Sweet. Awesome.
Yep.
Cool, man.
Good stuff.
Well, April is National Poetry Month. So let's go create some poetry in motion.
Cool.
Have a great rest of your weekend, Rick. And we'll be on next week for another edition of With All Due Respect.
Yep. You do the same, brother. Take care.
All right, take care.